Our text is taken from the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles, the verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. In these verses, beloved, almost lost in one of the genealogies of the Old Testament, Scripture introduces us to the honorable man Jabez. About this Jabez, we know only what is recorded in our text. Nowhere else does the Scripture tell us anything more about him than we read here. We know this about Jabez, that he was a member of the tribe of Judah. So chapter 4, which introduces Jabez to us, begins, "The sons of Judah." Judah was that tribe in the Old Testament to whom God had promised the covenant blessing of the coming one day of the Messiah or the Christ, whom we know to be Jesus. The covenant promise of God, therefore, was found in the tribe of Judah. And there, the power of that covenant promise, the promise of Jesus Christ, worked in a special way in this member of the tribe of Judah, the man Jabez. What we do know about Jabez from our text is instructive. Instructive for all of the members of the congregation, but particularly for the young people and the children of the congregation. You young people and children have a special interest in this Jabez and in the prayer of Jabez that is recorded in the passage. Obviously, when Jabez appears on the scene in Holy Scripture, he is a young man. I would say 16 or 17 years of age at the oldest, and perhaps only a boy of 10 or 12 years of age. That's evident from his prayer. He is obviously a boy or a young man who is looking forward into the entire future of his life. And with regard to that life that stretches out before him, as God wills to give him a life of a normal length, this Jabez revealed the purpose and desire of his heart with regard to the whole of his life that stretches before him. He's obviously not an old man who is looking back over his life, thanking God for enlarging his coast, for being with him with his hand, and for having kept him from the evil. But he is a young man who makes this request concerning the whole of his life. You young people stand at that juncture in your life. You make your plans regarding your life. You have certain desires and purposes with regard to your life. And concerning those purposes and those plans, the account of Jabez is instructive for you. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ, certainly into your planning and purposing concerning your life, very prominently enters the desire that you will have honor, that your life will be an honorable life. It's not only a matter, is it, of being rich, of being successful in earthly terms. Youth desires honor. And concerning this Jabez, we read that he was an honorable boy and an honorable young man, concerned that this above all would characterize his life. True honor. In these words, therefore, particularly for the benefit of the young people and the children here tonight, but as will become evident, instructive for all of us, I introduce to you Jabez and his covenant request. That's the word of God to us tonight, the covenant request of the honorable Jabez. Let's notice who he was. Second, his request. And third, God's answer to his request. The covenant request of the honorable Jabez. Who he was, his request, and God's answer to his request. One thing that was special about this Jabez must not be overlooked, as can easily happen. And that is that Jabez was a member of the Old Testament church. Jabez was a member of the instituted Church of God in the Old Testament. That's the meaning of the enrollment of Jabez in this genealogical list in 1 Corinthians 4. Jabez's name was inscribed in the church directory of the Church of the Old Testament. That's important. Nowadays, the importance of this is minimized and even denied. Many take the position that it does not matter which instituted church one belongs to, or that one is a member of a congregation at all. All of Scripture opposes that thinking. The presence in the Old Testament of these genealogies with their often hard-to-be-pronounced names, the significance of that, among other things, is to emphasize the importance, especially in the thinking of young people and boys and girls, of belonging to a true instituted church of Christ. And Old Testament Israel was certainly the true organized or instituted church and people of God at that time. It's important that our name be found in the membership rolls of a true church of Jesus Christ in the world, and one that is plainly identified to every believer as a true church by three clear marks. It preaches the pure doctrine of the gospel of the Bible. It exercises discipline upon those members who openly live in disobedience to God's commandments. And it exercises and administers the sacraments that Christ has ordained, baptism and the Holy Supper, as Christ has instituted them. That was special about Jabez. And that's special about you as members of a true instituted church of Jesus Christ. There is Christ. There is the power and salvation of God's covenant. There is the Holy Spirit, so that you may witness to Christ faithfully and live in obedience to His Word, and also so that you may make your own the prayer of Jabez. That was about all, though, that was special about this Jabez. There was nothing else special about him. In the Old Testament, there were a number of men and women, too, who were extraordinary and outstanding. Everyone is familiar with their names. They were kings, or prophets, or priests, or judges. They were men and women who did heroic deeds of deliverance for the people of God, Deborah and Barak, for example. Or they are famous and well known to all of us because they had an illustrious father, or because they had a famous son. But when you stop to think about it, those extraordinary persons in the Old Testament who were well known, and for that matter, the outstanding men and women with whom we are all familiar in the New Testament, were relatively few in number. You can count them in the hundreds. And what we can often forget is that the large majority of members of the Church of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, were ordinary men and women. Such was Jabez. He was no king. He was no prophet. He performed no heroic deed on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. He appears here for a moment, and then, as if he's embarrassed by the attention that he receives, he disappears, never to be heard of or referred to again. Jabez was one of those majority of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ about whom we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and verse 27, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, the weak things and base things and things which are despised. He's talking about human beings here, you understand, and things which are not. Those are the persons, men and women, young people, boys and girls, whom for the most part God has chosen to be members of His church, and for whom Christ has died, and in whom the Holy Spirit works to give the new birth and faith in Jesus Christ and the obedience of a holy life. Jabez was an ordinary member of the church. In fact, there was something about this Jabez that was unprepossessing, unpromising. There was something about him that rendered to him uncomely, not beautiful, not attractive as a member of the church. That's pointed out by his name. Names in the Bible are always important. Names have meaning. Names in the Old Testament, in particular, tell you something about the one who has the name. The name Jabez means sorrow or sorrowful one. We learn that his mother gave him that name. Shame on her. God willed that, of course. But shame on his mother to give him such a miserable name. His mother gave him that name because I bear him with sorrow. She bore him with sorrow. Now, all children are born with some sorrow, some pain, some grief on the part of the mother who gives birth to the child. That's part of the judgment of God upon woman for the role of woman in the fall of the human race in the beginning. According to Genesis 3:15, immediately after the sin of Adam and Eve with regard to the forbidden fruit, God says, I will greatly, to the woman now, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. All children are born with some sorrow. The pregnancy and the birth involve pain and sorrow. Because his mother gave him this name, because she bore him with sorrow, it is evident that there was some extraordinary pain and sorrow involved in the birth of Jabez. The pregnancy of his mother perhaps was an especially difficult pregnancy. And the birth was a very difficult and perhaps long delivery. So difficult may that have been that it's possible that Jabez bore the mark of that difficulty in his mind or in his body. He certainly was not mentally retarded, but he may not have been the brightest of the children in his family, somewhat duller intellectually than others. Or there may have been some mark on his body so that physically he was weaker and less attractive because of the hard delivery and birth. That was a miserable name to carry, especially as a child or as a young person. You can just imagine how it went on the playground. The other children would say, look, there comes the sorrowful one, pointing to the problem and weakness of Jabez. Or it may have been the case that his mother didn't want his conception and his birth, so that the very fact of his birth was a cause of sorrow to her, which she also made known to her son. Jabez was well aware of his name and the significance of that name as describing him not only as ordinary, but as somewhat weak and unattractive. Later in the text we read, in connection with his request that God would keep him from evil, that his purpose, his stated purpose in asking God to keep him from the evil was that evil may not grieve me. Now, grieve in the original of the Old Testament is the very same word that means Jabez. So that when Jabez made that request, he was saying, O God, the sorrowful one is praying that you will keep him from the evil so that evil may not cause him sorrow. He was well aware of his name and of the status that name tended to give him in the Church of Jesus Christ. Very likely then, his mother did not expect very much from Jabez. Gave him to understand that his position in the church would be an inferior, an insignificant position, and that not much could be expected from this child. Something like this happens in Christian families today, and even in the Christian church. Parents may have several children. Some of those children show themselves to be extraordinarily bright and talented. And the parents make plain that they expect big things from those children. No, there's nothing wrong with that. When God gives special gifts to men and to women, then He also requires of those men and of those women that they use those extraordinary gifts diligently in His kingdom. But the trouble is that those same parents may make clear to their other children that they don't expect very much from them spiritually, and that those children may expect to occupy an inferior and unimportant position in the church. Sometimes that thinking can appear in the church too. There are certain men perhaps who are in office, about whom the church makes plain that they expect important things in the kingdom of God from those men who occupy the office. And there may be women who have certain outstanding gifts, and the church looks to those women to exercise their gifts in the place that God has for them. That's fine. But the danger is that with regard to the ordinary members of the church, and even those members of the church who may have certain weaknesses, the attitude of the parents and the attitude of the church is not much can be expected from them. Jabez corrects this mistake, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in inspiring this brief revelation of Jabez and his request is to assure the vast majority of the members of the Church of Christ who are ordinary, and some of whom may even suppose themselves to be inferior, that they can expect great things from God, a large place in God's kingdom, and great riches from the covenant of God's grace. Though he was ordinary, and though there was something unpromising about him physically, Jabez was an honorable man. Jabez was an honorable man as a boy, and an honorable man as a young person, 16 or 17 years of age at the most. So we read in the text, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That implies, of course, that Jabez was honorable. Jabez's honorableness was a spiritual honorableness, not a mere earthly glory and honorableness. A great temptation for young people today, as always, is to have a false notion about honor. A young person desires honor. That's all right. A young person desires that his life will be honorable. That's all right. But the danger is that we yield to the temptation of the thinking of the world to suppose that honor is earthly and physical honor and glory. A successful profession, the accumulation of vast amounts of money, rising to the top in society so that he exercises earthly power over other human beings, or gets fame as an athlete, a football player, or as a musician. Of course, if God gives earthly talents that can be exercised legitimately, One ought to develop those talents and use those talents to the glory of God. But that glory is not true glory. That glory was not the honor of Jabez. Jabez's honor was a spiritual honor. That's evident in that the expression of his honor was his prayer and the content of his prayer expressed true glory by calling upon God and then making of God the request that he did. In that prayer is evident that Jabez was honorable by knowing the one true God. That was his honor. Already in his boyhood or in his young manhood, he knew God. O God of Israel, he said, acknowledging the God of Israel, the God whose name then above all was Jehovah, the God who would in the fullness of time reveal himself in Jesus Christ. He knew that God as the one true God to be worshipped and alone to be worshipped by prayer. It is evident from his prayer that Jabez had the honor of knowing God as sovereign, as the Almighty Lord over all earthly things. For he went to God asking God to enlarge his coasts and that God's hand would be with him and that God would keep him from the evil. That implies a God who controls all of earthly life as well as one's spiritual life. Jabez's honor was the spiritual honor of trusting in this God for blessing. Jabez was not a boy or a young man who was determined to be autonomous, self-governing, and independent. He wasn't ruled by the miserable notion, in my own strength and by my own efforts and by my own wisdom, I will make my own way in life and I will do my own thing. But rather, humbly, he cast himself upon God. Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coasts, and that thine hand will be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. He showed true spiritual honor by being confident that God would answer his prayer. That's honorable too. There was no doubt in Jabez's mind that God would hear him and grant him what he required. He knew this sovereign God of heaven and earth as his Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, who had been promised to his tribe, Judah, and who would come in the fullness of time. He depended upon this God on the basis of the forgiveness of his sins and the righteousness of the cross of Jesus Christ foreshadowed in all the sacrifices. And that confidence, as a boy, as a young man, he drew near to God, asking God to bless and direct his life. He showed true spiritual honor by desiring the blessings of the covenant that God had promised to give to his people. His heart was set upon those blessings, not upon earthly things, but upon these blessings. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And you see the passion of the boy, the urgency of the young man. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. This above all, I desire with all my heart, thy blessing. An honorable young man in the church, young man, young woman, boy or girl, this is how the power of the covenant of God with you works and how it will manifest itself in you, usually from an early age. Indeed, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So we read. He had some brothers. He wasn't the only child of his mother. And he was more honorable than they. This might express an absolute comparison between Jabez and his brothers. That is, the text may be telling us Jabez was honorable with this spiritual honor, whereas his brothers were not honorable at all. Jabez knew God in love. They rejected God, about whom they also had been instructed. Jabez loved the covenant of God and embraced it with a believing heart. They despised the covenant, Christ and the blessings of salvation, like Esau before them, and sold it for a mess of pottage. Jabez had his heart set in his life that stretched before him upon the blessing of God. They weren't interested in the blessing of God. They had their heart set upon pleasure and wealth and fame. That's how it goes sometimes, even in the families of believing parents. There are Jacobs. And there are Esau's. There are Jabez's who are honorable, and there are others who are utterly dishonorable with the shame of the rejection of God. God's predestination, His election and reprobation, not only divide the church from the wicked world, but also the children of believers. And that's evident already often in youth and childhood. Jabez shows this honor by his prayer, and his brothers are contrary. But we may be more charitable tonight to the brothers of Jabez, and we may take this comparison relatively. Jabez's brothers were honorable, but Jabez was more honorable than they. They knew God in love. Jabez was zealous for God in his love for God. They appreciated the covenant and its blessings, but not with the zeal and full heart of Jabez. They too wanted some territory in the land of Canaan. Jabez wanted more. They too submitted to God's hand. Jabez was more obedient. Key that in no way would he transgress the least of God's commandments. They too wanted to be kept from the evil. Jabez dreaded the evil. This is how it goes among the young people in the church still today and among the boys and the girls. There are some young people, especially in their youth, who are satisfied with a minimum of the knowledge of God. A lesser amount of the blessings of salvation. And there are young men and young women already in their youth who want to know God as fully as it is possible to know Him. They desire the blessings of salvation in the richest possible measure for themselves. They want to be devoted to God, to the utmost power of His grace working within them. They see to it that they are members of a true church where the truth is proclaimed most fully and most purely. They are in church twice on the Lord's Day, as often as the church gathers, knowing that God blesses through the preaching of the Word, through the sacraments, and in the fellowship of the congregation. They don't willingly miss a single catechism class where the minister gives instruction in the Word of God, which is a means that God uses to bless young people and children in the church. And when they are in catechism, they are all ears and all heart, listening, taking it in, embracing it, and applying it. And on the other hand, there are young people about whom we will say that they are saved, as they claim to be, who aren't so concerned that they belong to a church where the truth is purely taught, and where the gospel is fully proclaimed. They'll settle for something less, even a church where the lie is taught in part and the commandments of God are trampled underfoot. It doesn't bother them to miss church occasionally if they have some fun plans somewhere else. And they may come to catechism often grudgingly. And when they are there, they're not paying attention the way they should. They are no Jabezes. They are spiritual lightweights, those young people, those boys and girls. Jabez, already in his boyhood, was a spiritual heavyweight. I use that term advisedly. In the Hebrew original of the Bible, the word meaning honor comes from a word that means heavy. We may read that text, therefore, literally this way: Jabez was heavier than his brothers. Not, of course, in physical weight, but heavy with the heaviness of the glory and the grace of God working in him. God is honorable. God is heavy in His grace and glory. Jabez, already in his youth, by the covenant blessing of God, who has said, I will save you, and I will save your children, and who meant by that, I will save your children in their childhood, Jabez was heavy with the true heaviness, the true honor that comes from God. Boy, girl, young man, young woman, the power of the covenant of God in you makes you a spiritual heavyweight already in your childhood and in your youth. Treasure that. Desire that. And then you make the request of Jabez. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And then that blessing is specified. Sometimes in our prayers we leave things general. Bless us. We should become specific. Tell God what these blessings are. Mention them. State them. Enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from the evil. As the text itself indicates, and Jabez stated in his prayer, his request was for the blessing from the God of Israel. And that was the blessing with the spiritual blessing of salvation. The spiritual blessing of the riches that are in Jesus Christ. I know Christ hadn't come yet, but the blessings of Christ were already distributed on the basis of His coming cross in the Old Testament, the forgiveness of sins, holiness, the knowledge of God in love, the assurance of salvation, the power of a godly life, the hope of life eternal. He was requesting the blessings of salvation. And those blessings are threefold. The enlarging of His coast, that God's hand be with him, and that God would keep him from the evil. All of these blessings God had promised to His people in the Old Testament. Jabez prayed that God would fulfill His promise in this threefold way to him. The first of those blessings was the enlarging of his coast. That means that God would make Jabez's territory in the land of Canaan very large, that he would expand Jabez's borders. Every family in the Old Testament had a certain portion of the land of Canaan. A portion fell to Jabez. Maybe his parents didn't give him a very large portion because they didn't think he was up to it. Jabez asks of God, expand my boundaries, make my territory larger. Now you mustn't say, well, we can understand that petition all right. We can pray that still today. Give me a lot of land. Give me a lot of land in Northern Ireland. Doesn't take any grace or Holy Spirit to pray a prayer like that. But you must remember that a portion in the land of Canaan in the Old Testament was a type or picture of a share in the covenant of God. A share in communion with God. A share in the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Really, Jabez was praying, give me a large portion of salvation. Give me a large experience of the riches of salvation. Pour out the covenant blessings typified by this piece of dirt in the land of Canaan. Pour out those rich blessings upon me. He wasn't satisfied with the least amount of blessing that it takes to be saved and finally to squeak into heaven. He wasn't satisfied with the bare minimum of the knowledge of the truth. He wanted an abundance of the overflowing blessings from the God of his salvation. The second blessing was that God's hand would be with him. Here you plainly see that the blessing was a covenant blessing. God's covenant essentially is his fellowship with us in Jesus Christ. That's the highest good. That's the greatest blessing of salvation. Communion with God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. To know God and to live with him. To live in his presence. To have him with us, now and eternally. His eternal life. And that was his prayer, that thy hand may be with me. Now if God's hand is with him, God, whose hand it is, will be with him. His prayer, therefore, was already in his boyhood, whatever else may befall me in the rest of my life, wilt thou be with me? And then, particularly, thy hand. The hand of God is God's powerful ruling of one's life. With his hand, God controls the life of a human being and all of the circumstances of the life of a human being. Jabez submitted to the control and government of God. It was as though he said, "Wilt thou guide me and direct me in all thy way, by thy will and by thy power?" And because God's will and power for our life is the Scriptures, Jabez's prayer was, "I want my life to its very end to be governed by the Holy Scriptures, applied by the Holy Spirit. I won't marry whom I will. I will marry whom thou dost will." Not an unbeliever. Not a divorced woman. Not one with whom I am not one in the faith. But an eligible, godly woman. "May thy hand guide me in my marriage. May thy hand guide me in my family life, so that I behave myself as a husband and as a father, according to the word of God. And wilt thou guide me in my work and in my play, in my labor and in my recreation, in my friendship, in every aspect, that thy hand might be with me." And the third element of the blessing was, "And that thou wouldest keep me from evil." That's not the same as "keep evil from me." That would mean merely that he saw to it that Jabez never got sick, that he never had a disappointment in school or in his friendship or on the job, that he was never disappointed in any earthly thing, that all kinds of physical afflictions would never come upon him. That wouldn't be a very spiritual request, because it's the will of God that his children on this earthly pilgrimage enter into glory in the way of tribulation and affliction and suffering, especially suffering for Christ's sake. That wasn't his request, but his request was, "Keep me from the evil." That evil is sin. That's the greatest evil in all of one's life. Destructive. God dishonoring. Ruinous. For a young man, as for an older man or an older woman. Sin is the cause of real sorrow, real grief. The urgent petition of a boy, of a young man was, "Keep me from the evil." There again you see the spirituality, the godliness, the heaviness of this boy or this young man. He knew what the true evil in human life is. Not sickness. Not an economic slowdown. Not the collapsing of a business. Not death even. But sin. And he also knew his own proneness to that evil. He knew that he could not himself keep himself from presumptuous sin. He knew about the power of sin in the world about him. And so he fled to God. "Do thou keep me from evil, that that sin, that evil, may not grieve me, may not really make me a sorrowful one." That's the request. Children, that you ought to make of God. Young man, young woman, bless me. Bless me with regard to the whole of my life that stretches out before me. With all the riches of salvation that I can possibly have in this life. With the government of thy will, with thy preserving spirit so that I am kept from the evil. And God granted him that which he requested. That's beautiful. God granted him already in his childhood, and then in his young manhood, and then in his mature years, until finally his old age, everything that Jabez asked. And when his life on earth was over, God kept on answering his prayer to all eternity. Richer, deeper knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. Preservation in holiness and glory. And nevermore to fall into sin. Of course, he granted him what he requested. He worked in this boy to make this request. And he has promised that what we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, he will grant to us. If all that a young man wants is the world, God will give him that too. Choke him to death with the world and its pleasures. If all that a young person is satisfied with is a minimum of salvation, God will give him that minimum. And to the one who asks for rich covenant blessings, God grants these riches so that the life of this young person really isn't sorrowful. Particularly with regard to that third blessing, Jabez said, so that it may not grieve me. I know, O Lord, I'm the sorrowful one, an ordinary member in the church with weaknesses about whom not much is expected. But the sorrowful one asks you, don't make me sad. And if God granted him what he asked, God made him joyful. Behold, Jabez, the joyful one, the one whom God has made joyful in granting his request. Children, young people, you want honor. Ask that honor and show that honor. And show that honor by the covenant request of Jabez and your life. Your earthly life, and then your life in heaven forever will be the life of a truly joyful one. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, also we who stand towards the end of life make this request about the years that still remain. And if for various reasons we did not make this request in our youth, pardon and hear us now, O God of Israel, oh, that Thou wouldst bless us with the blessings of the covenant, indeed, for Jesus' sake. Amen.